Loved one, listen, God's commands are not given to keep us from something good or from having fun, but God's commands are given to protect us from the self-destruction of sin. The devil also uses deception as his key weapon. To deceive means to mislead by obscuring truth. And Satan does this by making what is evil look oh so good.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. I really appreciate you listening to this podcast. I truly do. And I would ask just a small favor, if you would. If you're a regular listener, can you go to Apple Podcasts, please, or whatever platform you listen, and go to their review section and give us a nice 4 or 5 star rating? That would be awesome. And maybe give us a nice review. Yeah, be nice. This way, it directs more people to the podcast, more people that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Thank you so much. So let's begin today. Today's podcast is all about Satan's game plan for our defeat. And to be sure, he does have a game plan to defeat us and keep us in defeat. Some people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior have suffered repeated defeat throughout their lives simply because they don't realize they have a spiritual enemy. Many folks today mock the idea of a literal devil, but the Bible clearly states that Satan is all too real, and his goal is to draw people away from God, to thwart God's purposes, and to cause division among us. And you know what? It's working, sadly, but it's sad but true. You know, Satan, the Bible says, is a liar, and no one is immune to his attempts to deceive. Therefore, to stand firm against his lies, believers in Christ need to understand the enemy's strategies. So what is satanic attack? Well, it is a deliberate, willful assault by Satan upon an individual for the purpose of doing great harm in the spirit, soul, or body, or all three. These attacks could come at any time or from anywhere. The devil tries to trip us up when we are at our weakest, and he knows exactly who or what to use as a lure into his trap. He often tempts us with what we do not need or should not have as he seeks to bring us down. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 say this: "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." The thoughts of unsaved people are governed by what Paul calls the flesh, our carnal nature, and the result is death. But he's not referring to the physical human body, but to an internal drive that opposes God. In contrast, Christ's Spirit lives within believers, governing their minds and behaviors according to God's desires, and giving them life and peace. Here's what Romans 8, verses 7 and 8 say. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Since unbelievers are controlled by the flesh and influenced by Satan, their thoughts are opposed to God. And furthermore, without the Holy Spirit, they have no ability to obey Him or please Him. Romans 8, 9 says this, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. See, the indwelling Holy Spirit, not church attendance, not baptism or good behavior, the indwelling Holy Spirit is the distinguishing mark between Christians and the rest of humanity. Although Satan still deceives and tempts believers to sin, their disobedience does not result in the loss of their salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tells us this. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, that's God with a little g, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, Paul is calling Satan the God of this world. And to be sure, Satan is always working to mislead and blind people to the truth regarding Jesus Christ. The result is a world characterized and mired in sin, conflict, and deception. Satan's battleground, dear one, is between your ears. It's in the mind. The devil infiltrates the world with his lies, and even believers can be deceived. Satan is always ready to interject his ideas into our minds and lead us astray by convincing us that there will be no consequences for sin. If we believe his lies and disobey our Heavenly Father, we will suffer God's loving discipline. But the Holy Spirit also reminds us that we are God's children, whose sins have been forgiven through Christ's death on the cross, and we can never be separated from our Savior. So, dear one, when you do sin, don't run from Jesus. Run straight to Him. So what are Satan's strategies? We need to know these things. First of all, Satan directs our attention toward a need or desire. This strategy began in the perfect environment of the Garden of Eden when Satan drew Eve's attention away from the abundance of God's provision to the one thing he withheld, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil has been using this same technique ever since to stir up lust for a particular person, greed for a certain possession, and envy for what belongs to another person. He promises that having the objects of our desires will satisfy us, but nothing outside God's will ever brings lasting joy, but only disaster. Another of Satan's strategies is that the devil chooses the time when we are the weakest. After Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights, Satan came to him, suggesting that he turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. And yet Jesus didn't come to serve himself, but to obey his heavenly Father. In the same way, the devil comes to us when we are hungry angry, lonely, or exhausted. Together, these form the word halt, H-A-L-T, which is exactly what we should do when we are tempted at the point of our vulnerability. We must stop and consider that this is a satanic attack. Remember, Satan comes when we are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's the acronym HALT. And that's what we need to make the devil do. HALT in Jesus' name. Another strategy of the evil one is he creates doubt in our minds. The devil's biggest target is the Word of God. He wants believers to rationalize themselves into disobedience by misinterpreting verses or taking them out of context to just support their desired sins. Once the devil gets people to doubt the veracity of any part of the Bible, or to declare those parts irrelevant or outdated, then Satan gets a foothold in their lives from which he can promote his lies. Satan also wants us to get in a debate. He wants to get us in a debate. So temptations are not to be debated, but rejected. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus always responded in the same way by saying, "It is written," followed by a passage of Scripture. Loved one, listen, God's commands are not given to keep us from something good or from having fun, but God's commands are given to protect us from the self-destruction of sin. The devil also uses deception as his key weapon. To deceive means to mislead by obscuring truth, and Satan does this by making what is evil look oh so good. Another strategy is that he wants to create division. And Lord, we're seeing that everywhere now, throughout the world. Division. Satan tries to convince young people that the Bible is outdated and that older people lack understanding of reality. His goal is to replace unity in the family, church, and society with strife, distrust, and division. Since the Word of God promotes harmony, peace, godliness in relationships, Satan begins by stirring up doubts about the truth of the Bible. And finally, Satan's goal is to destroy us. That's the ultimate goal of the evil one. Destroy us, God's people. People in general. If he can convince people to doubt a portion of Scripture, he can then persuade them to reject even more of it. In fact, the verses that address the area of their temptation are the first ones they begin to doubt. Satan is a liar who stands against the truth of God's Word. Yet for those of us who belong to Christ and believe his Word, it is our greatest protection against the enemy's lies. Loved one, when we fill our minds and hearts with Scripture and live according to its principles, Satan's schemes lose their power over us. No doubt about it. Satan is a thief and a liar. The Bible says, resist him, and he will flee from you. There may be someone listening today. It may be you, dear friend. And you may not have ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your personal Savior and Lord. What's holding you back? You can do it today. Even if your life is a literal mess. Again, like I said earlier, when you've blown it, when you've sinned and done it repeatedly and terribly, and when your life is in chaos and it's just in rubble, listen, again, don't run from Jesus, but run to him. Let's run to him now through prayer. Open your heart, dear one, right now. I believe the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, is drawing some of you to Him right now. So let's pray this prayer. Now, just by mouthing words, it won't mean a thing. But if you are desperate to have God in your life, if you really desire Jesus and more of Him in your life, then cry out to Him now. Let's pray together. Repeat this after me, if you would. Dear God in heaven. Yeah, pray it with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me, Jesus, with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's holy word, which cannot lie, I am washed. I am cleansed. I'm now forgiven. I am healed. And thank you, God, I am reborn. And I praise you and thank you, my God and my Savior. And Lord Jesus, I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Oh, dear one, if you've prayed that prayer with me, realize that Jesus Himself said that the angels of heaven are celebrating you right now. When one person turns away from sin and turns toward Jesus, and He becomes their Savior and Lord, Jesus said, the angels of heaven rejoice over you. Hallelujah. What a thought. The next thing you need to do is to tell other people about the decision that you've made for Christ today, that Jesus is now your Savior and Lord, and your life will never be the same again. Tell people. Many will rejoice over you and with you, and yet some may mock you. That's okay. You walk on with Jesus. And what's really important, too, is to get involved in a local church. Ask God to lead you to just the right local church where you can go next Sunday and the following and the following, and to make that church your home. Get plugged into a local church where the Bible is preached faithfully and where the people love God and love each other. And dear one, reach out to others with good news of what Jesus has done in your life. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and hit the contact tab and say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you, and Jesus is now my Savior and Lord. You know what? I'm going to rejoice with you. I will send you a word of encouragement, and even more than that, I'm going to send you a free resource, postage paid, to help you get started in this new walk with Christ. Thank you for listening, my friends. God bless you. Tell other people about the podcast and tell them that how it's blessed you and share it with them. Thank you again. I pray for you guys every week, and I love you dearly. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be happy and pleased and smiling upon you. And may He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love. May it be yours in your homes, your marriage, your relationships, and may God grant you great, great favor all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.